This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes post-match phone-in on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Let's get to Martin. Martin, sir, how are we doing?
MP.
Oh, good evening, sir. Well, what can we say? When we spoke to you on Friday, you had been... What was the phrase? You'd been watching the game when you should have been working. Well done. What about today?
Today, mate, I was listening to the game while I should have been working.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Martin, whilst part of the Yellow Brick Road Boys, is head of shirking responsibility for Do Not Scratch Your Eyes. So we're very pleased about that. That's very good.
Can I just say, I love Kayembe. What a goal that was today. Wow.
It was glorious, wasn't it? It was a great touch and a superb finish.
Yeah, but thing that what people have been saying, like, we've got 50 points now, so we're not going down. We're safe. Love Tom. I hope he gets a job next season. But look what everyone else has been saying. Bring someone that he knows to help him out a bit.
Oh, have we got a suggestion on the way here?
I think someone mentioned Nigel Gibbs. Yes. I think he'd be a good shout. Family relative. I can't say no to that.
Hang on a second, everybody. There's something going on here. We need to explore this. Now, Martin, you're saying that Sir Nigel Gibbs, right, which basically makes you aristocracy. Go on, tell us all about it.
So Nigel Gibbs is my mother's cousin. So that's my little family relative.
Look at this, everybody. Keeps his light hidden under a bushel. We didn't even know he had a bushel, let alone a light hidden underneath it. That's very good.
So, he needs to come back. I think he'd be a good shout.
Okay, and who else would you go for if blood relatives were not allowed to be selected by you?
Well, I've always liked Ray Lewington. I think he's a good coach. I don't know if he'd come back, though. But there's a few out there. Someone mentioned Malky Mackay. What about Adey Boothroyd? I don't know what he's doing at the minute. Is he still in? But no, and somebody mentioned Manchester United themes. I can't remember his name, but they said he's out of work, but I think it's a good shout.
Mike Phelan.
Oh, he was manager of Hull, wasn't he? He managed Hull, I think.
There are people who are not really first team managers. It's a very different role. We had a chat with Adey Mariappa, not Boothroyd, and Lloyd Doyley, who is, of course, assistant manager at Boreham Wood. So we got onto the talking about assistant managers. We thought, why not? That's something different. And it was really interesting because they were talking, we got them to go through assistant manager history at Watford, which was really interesting because it told you something about them as assistant managers, but also the managers that they work with. And only a couple of them, they say, I think he could have been a manager because you need to have a certain hard level. You're the one where the buck stops. You've got to take the pressure. Yeah. You're the one who's going home at the end of everything with the press coming for you. Very rarely does the assistant manager get put on the back page of the newspaper with you being sacked in the morning
or on Twitter, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that you're the figurehead for it. You're the one who has to, everything stops back at there. And Mike Phelan, who was assistant manager with Ferguson, and if you remember with Ferguson, he had, amongst others, Archie Knox, Brian Kidd. There is some pedigree with those two straight away. Carlos Queiroz, who ended up becoming a manager and manager of Portugal, etc. But again, a lot of pedigree. And he had Mike Phelan there for an awful lot of time of it as a coach, and then as a, and then as assistant manager.
Work as well, Mike Phelan, and I definitely think he'd be a really good shout.
Interesting thought.
Also, I think that especially in the summer, I think a lot of loans, especially if Cleverley's going to be the manager, and they can say, "Oh, Watford's going a different way." I think maybe we can start bringing these young players from top clubs into the club again, because we're not going to get a lot of money to spend this summer. So I think it's definitely the way we're going to be looking at it anyway.
Well, I think the first thing you've got to hope is that we're going to give our own youngsters an opportunity and a chance, providing they are of a level that, that it helps, one, them, and secondly, the club. And thirdly, you've then got it, Yeah, absolutely. It's a way of bringing in quality that doesn't necessarily...
You're still there, Pete.
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me yet?
I lost him.
Okay, never mind. Well, I don't know if Martin can hear me. Justin, if you're listening, do let me know whether or not I've just died or if it's Martin. There we go, never mind. So, yeah, there's a number of people that we might consider for the role, but let's see what other people think. Let's get across to Mr. Neil Silverstein. Hopefully everybody can still hear me, because sometimes Elon doesn't put 50p in the meter. Neil, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all good, thanks, Peter. Yourself?
I'm all right. I'm just delighted that somebody could hear me. I thought I died for a second there, but never mind.
So, what did you say?
Budum tish, everybody. Hang on. Here we go. It's Neil. There you go. That's yours. Excellent. I like that very much.
Dad jokes on a bank holiday Monday.
Not off.
Nice to catch up with you Friday, by the way.
It was indeed. Lovely to see you there. What did you make of Friday and this afternoon?
Well, obviously the score was the same. I think the performance was the same. And also the falling back in with some kind of attachment to the club, not just the team. Because I think, like some of the others have said, I've been finding myself feeling more distant and disconnected over the last 12 months. But the last three games, it's been a breath of fresh air. And I think the club appears to be going in the right direction again under Cleverley. The performances they look structured. They look like they've got some instruction going out to the players. Picked up on Friday that the warm-up before the game, the starting 11 and the subs were all doing the same drills, which I really like, because it says to me that there was a pattern there that everyone, or they were trying to get a drill into all of the players that might be involved about the patterns of play and how they were wanting to work. And particularly on Friday, I noticed they were working with Siriel to clipping the ball into the space in between the midfield and the forwards, which is where Bayo went into. And then you watched during the game and you saw that pattern of play progress. And I just think it's, if it is plan A was plan A and plan B was try plan A again, whereas I think Cleverley, you can see is trying to get patterns of play coming from the squad. And I think you're starting to see the benefits of it. I also think that with Bayo and Dennis is the preference. Obviously, two up front, like others have said, we look a lot better like that. But also, we press from the front. And then as soon as the changes have been made to the forward line, both Friday and today, you've seen a change in the dynamic of the team, the structure of the team, and then also the performance. And we end up defending deeper. Yeah. And I think that's where probably all four goals that we've conceded have come from. The fact that we're defending further in our own half rather than from the front. So I think there's some really encouraging stuff there.
I think you're absolutely right on that, because even Somerville's goal, which, I mean, we can't dismiss the quality of the lad. He is proper. He's mustered, that kid. But if you remember, it was the one time, and it was the one time where Dennis and Bayo got it wrong, and they were both basically spread out wide. The ball came to Ampadu, and he just basically strode out in a way that was almost, dare I say, almost Beckenbauer-esque. It came into the midfield and then put the ball forward. It worked wide. It was the one time when it broke down and suddenly we are defending on our back foot, exactly as you say there. So even the goal that we conceded in the first half of those two games, which was only the one against Leeds, you're absolutely right. The moment we either stop or ineffectively defend the defence, that's where we certainly seem to be having trouble. But hey, he's only three games in. Let's hope he can carry on working some of this magic.
Yeah, I think he will. I think it comes of having to uncoach what was being coached before, which, again, you can clearly see. I think the challenge that we've got is, and the two contributors from Orlando, and obviously the second one was far more intelligent than the first one in my eyes.
Yeah.
There's a real bias and people only see the last passage of play, and you've really got to break it down and look where it's come from. Because unless I'm mistaken, it's a team game. So we win as a team, we lose as a team, and we concede as a team. Granted, there is individual errors in some cases, but I don't think any of the four goals that we've conceded this weekend have been individual errors from Backman. I think all of the goals could have been prevented. Bar Somerville's, he's a quality player. Yeah. There's probably three or four other factors that play into the fact that the final strike is able to be made and in the way that it was. And as you say, this afternoon's second goal, there was a deflection on it, and it was a hell of a strike as well. That was going at pace, right? Mm-hmm. So the reaction, I'd love to know the actual reaction time that would have been required in order for Backman to make it, and then how many other goalkeepers in the rest of the country, including Scotland, would have actually been able to make it, because I don't think many would have done, right? And you can get into a starting position, all the rest of it, but it is millisecond decisions that players have to make, and they're playing in the Championship for a reason, right? You can go out and spend ridiculous money, as Man United have done, on a goalkeeper that was being berated to begin with. So I just think we've got to realise that people are human, and the players are that as well, and they will make mistakes. They have ability. They have some kind of mental strength required to play in certain positions, but everybody makes mistakes. I don't know anybody that's gone through their life and their working career that doesn't make a mistake. I guess it's just a question of how many times do you make it.
Yeah, no, and this is all about having different opinions, because people will take a look at Dan Backman and go, yeah, not for me, and that's fine, because that's absolutely fine. But I think the point about looking further up the chain of events that go preceding the goal show you where there were opportunities to stop that happening, and I appreciate that in some ways. Often organisationally as the manager, sometimes as the goalkeeper or the centre-back, you're doing an organisational job sometimes that's not yours to do. You're communicating to people further forward to stop that chance happening in the first place, two or three moves ahead. By the time it comes down to the strike on the goal, and I haven't seen the second goal, first of all, there should be bodies out there pressing the ball. Sometimes that'll mean a deflection, as it happened with the first one, that sometimes doesn't make the goalkeeper's job any easier. But if you like this keeper or you want a new keeper, that's fine. It's all an opinion. But you're absolutely right. People will make mistakes. And it's also good and it's also important that Tom looks at what happened in that sequence of events to get that ball to that particular instance. And where are the learnings? What can we do? Because, as you say, it's sometimes a series of individual errors that make up a team issue or a team error or a team problem. And as I said earlier on, and it's not a go at these players, Rajovic and Martins pressing the defensive line of West Brom, because we kept them so occupied. And we said the same thing on Friday when Dennis came off. He kept them so occupied. When you take that away because you're bringing in other players with different skill sets, you suddenly see what Dennis and what Bio were giving you by omission, because suddenly it's not there. It's a difficult game, but it's a lot of fun to talk about. Never mind. Where do you think we go from here in terms of Tom? Obviously enthused about it. Have you seen enough so far that if you were in charge of making the decisions, you'd go, yeah, seen enough. Let's start talking about next season with Tom.
Yeah, to be fair, I think I said in a chat group earlier, I'd actually give him the role now, because we've seen improvement on and off the pitch. There's a connection back with the fans, so you're feeling that the club is back. So I'd give him the job now, because then for once we would have a pre-season with stability and we should be starting to plan for next year. Now, I do think that he needs a mature head alongside him, someone with experience in the football game. Mm-hmm. I know there's quite a few names have been mentioned before, and to be fair, I don't really have an alternative to what's been mentioned. The only bit that I would say is I'd see someone that's from an attacking bias, because I think that's the bit that we really do need to work on. Uh-huh. With or without Dennis, because I think that's the bit that concerns me. Although that saying, I'd actually love to see Shaq fall back and given a chance, because I think if you want a player that plays in the same sort of style as Dennis, or a busy, closing down, not going to give the defenders a minute's rest, I think that's in his locker. And he knows where the back of the net is as well, and hasn't been given a chance at Watford, but has played elsewhere. So I'd like to see that. I also, slightly different question, but I would replace Backman, by the way. I'm not saying Backman's the answer.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to give some pragmatism to the view that we get. But no, answer the question. I'd give Tom the job now, and I would think long and hard about who we bring in. Can't argue against Nigel Gibbs. He is Sir Nigel Gibbs. But I do think I'd like to see someone with a bit of attacking bias alongside them. So the power of three. So I'd be looking to bring two experienced people in alongside.
Nice, nice. I like that very much. In terms of Shaq Ford, obviously he's had one loan at York, which ran impressively in the National League. He's now with Leighton Orient. Some people will look at it and say, well, he wasn't there and he didn't play through. In pre-season, he got a chance at Boreham Wood as a centre forward. He played them in what we would now call the Jake Livermore role. He was being played in deep midfield and he was doing his darndest to play in there. I would like him to be afforded an opportunity as well, as along with other youngsters, just to show what they can do. It might be that you give them a few games and go, no, we're going to put you out on loan, further develop you, etc. But being seen to bring through your development players and give them an opportunity and a chance further enhances all of that connection to the club and the community. But it also means that that the next players who might want to come through can see that there is a chance if they come to Watford. Because otherwise, people will take the Harry Amass or the Jadon Sancho route, who we know, who will go, yeah, I'm being paid this amount of money to go to go and play at Man City or Man United, not knowing if they're going to get a route because they're just going to try and take jam today rather than try and bet on getting first-team appearances tomorrow. It's an important thing that we do. And personally, this opportunity where you've got so many people at the academy linked in with the first team, having an appreciation of where, what's going on, what players are, potentially viable. Albert Eames, for example, made the bench. Another lad was on the bench today. I think personally, that's actually a good thing, especially if we're going to need to cut our cloth accordingly. We shall see, sir. Neil, lovely to hear from you as ever, and lovely to have seen you on Friday and everybody else down the bunker. That was lovely to see you. Boyd, sir, I saw you were waiting to come in. I was just about to add you. So if you wish to come in, just press request and I will get you in. But in the meantime, let's get across to some of these five-word reviews, because let's face it, it's the last day of your bank holiday. You might want to be going off and enjoying yourselves or preparing or whatever you want to do tomorrow, but there we go. Let's get to the five words. Let's start with. Tony said, Backman reminds me of Scott Loach, who could never save shots from outside the area. And then I can only suspect it was Justin said, four too many words about Loachy there. And I think those words were shots from outside the area. Yes, I think Justin's in the not convinced about Backman camp as well. We appreciate different people have different opinions about players, about tactics, about managers, about the game, about whatever. That's fine. This is just a big melting pot where you get to say what you think. And that's it, really. Clive said, shame we couldn't hold on. But still, a good point away against a good team. Big improvement under Cleves. That's from Jiggy55. Well done, Clive. Thank you very much for that. John Parslow says, give Tom the job tomorrow. It's fun, but frustrating again, says Alan Lathwell. Yeah, because it's tied to the result. And there's only one way, really, to avoid losing games, and that's never to play them. There's only one way to avoid losing leads. That's never to have them. Never mind. Cone says, Ron forgot Backman's first half. Jim Cuthbert says, 5 from 9. Tough start. Happy with that. The tough start piece is the absolute context there from Jim. Jim, hope you're well, mate. Ryan Cripp says, gutted to concede late in the end. But on a positive note, we are still undefeated in the Cleverley era. Onwards and upwards to the Lilywhites at home next. Things are looking up if we back Tom for next season. Lots of people really looking to back Tom, which is nice. Let's get across to John Parslow here. He's just put in a request in the place of Boyd. John, sir, are you walking the dog, metaphorically speaking?
Hello,
sir. Hi, Peter.
No, I'm dropping the daughter, so I'm just doing a Greg reversing. I just don't speak, but don't worry.
When you say you're dropping the daughter, you mean you're dropping her off in the car?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah,
okay.
She's not Uncle Ron's 19-year-old.
As a form of parenting rebuke, I think dropping your children is very, shouldn't be done. Anyway, what did you make of things?
Well, yeah, interesting game, but I've really called in. I just felt I had to call in to stop the slander, Peter, the slander.
The slander?
The slander against Backman. It's just going too far. I just, Friday, everybody seems to forgot. Well, I haven't listened to the whole show, so maybe people have come back a little bit. But he stopped us losing a point with an amazing double save.
Mm-hmm.
And today, he stopped us going 1-0 down with a save. And I think if people watch the goals back, you'll see the first one was hit with pace and it flicked up. So
deflection, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going down and you're covering your rear post, you're normally doing it with a leg, but you're also trying to make sure you're covering your far post, otherwise too many keepers get beaten too far, so it just went past. And I'll have to watch this, the second one again. But it's one of those that if we'd scored it, we'd all be celebrating. And he made other saves. His handling today was superb. He was claiming high catches. Mm-hmm. His kicking was so much better. So,
I think I'm going to take issue with you on the kicking on a couple of occasions. I thought he got, on one of them, he got right under it. On another one, he hit it really short and it came straight into the West Brom team to be able to play it, you know, back out. His handling and his cross-taking, I agree with you completely. But I think his distribution today was not the greatest. That's fine. I don't think anybody has ever said that Daniel Backman's distribution is a strength, but hey, there you go, just a balance.
Fair. I said his handling was superb and his distribution was much better, and I still think it was better, but yeah, we're one or two things. But I think overall, if anybody was to complain about him and losing the 2-1 win, it would be me, because I had that as the background result, and I'm not blaming him, so I've got form on that. Yeah, so me on Cleverley now and everybody, I think clearly just what we need is we have enough youth and talent around the club, and there's another young potential wonder kid coming in. You'll know his name in the summer. Somebody you've signed. Can't remember who he is.
You mean
Yes,
he's a Malian centre-forward. There's very little footage of him available. What there is from the under-teens AFCON last year, and also from the under-17s World Cup last year, and he looks very good. It's always difficult to tell in terms of how somebody's readiness for adult football, but certainly he looks the kind of prospect that I was berating the club for not signing when we were seeing the finances come out and the transfer window end, and then we explained why we signed him to start in July, because he turned 18, and 2 days later we signed him. So we can understand that somebody's coming in, so that might be interesting. And also, as was just mentioned there by Neil Silverstein, somebody like Shaq Ford, who's had a good couple of seasons away on loan, he could potentially come into consideration.
And that player sounds like the sort of player we'll have to call Dell until we work out, like we did with George, how to pronounce Shaq Fatadze. So that's good. So we have enough young talent, but we just clearly, I think, if in the positions we want to get players in, I think we just need to get a few hardened with good legs, 90-minute legs, players who know the Championship. Which is why I'd like Tom to be manager, just because he'll know the role he played when he played in that role, and it's just somebody who knows how to dig in. Because towards the end, when this offline, but I was berating Martins when he came on. I actually like the player. Similar to Rich, I actually think he's a great talent, but he just didn't do it. He didn't do enough. And it wasn't just up front. It was just leaning into Furlong right at the end, or just getting close to him. He just stood off him. Lewis thought he was going to go and cover him, and he just needed to do that. And in the first half, it wasn't just that Dennis was closing down up front. Dennis was coming back into our half and chasing down, doing a lot of that. And you just need that extra energy, or just somebody who's willing to go through that. And we got players like us. We ended up with Espria and Martins and a few other players, just a little bit lightweight, just to hold out, I think. But unlucky, but it's good. It's reassuring.
John, may I ask a question, sir? May I ask a question, sir? I think it's an interesting thing here. Are you accusing Emmanuel Dennis of being a team player?
I certainly am. I don't know what's happened to him, but to be fair, when he was in the Premier League, and I was like a bit of a lone wolf on this, as I tend to be, I didn't have a problem with him. I didn't think he was a selfish player at all. I think it was just one of those players, and it was a bit like Pedro, looked around and went, shit, I'm going to have to do a lot of this on my own. And he worked. He worked his ass off in the Premier League. And people go back and watch the games, and he was always running. He was always chasing back. He was always trying to do something, trying to do too much maybe, right? And I think that's when he started the last few games for us, until he's got his legs starting to come through again, which takes a bit of time when he hasn't been playing. He's one thing, he was maybe trying too hard. And I think even today, occasionally, just holding on to the ball, but you want your striker to do that, as we saw against Leeds. But honestly, he's bringing players in, he's working back, he's coming back across the halfway line, tackling players, winning the ball back. Yeah, definitely. Somehow, if we could, if Forrest just want to offload him for a couple of million, and I know we've got problems financially, and you and I both know we've got probably cut the wage bill by 30% anyway, from where we are this year. So, but if there was a way of him coming, I'm sure he can play at a high level, but if there's a way of him going, actually, I quite enjoy myself here, because he seems to be enjoying it. He's either playing for a move, or he's trying to say, actually, I quite like this. So I don't know. I'd have him a heartbeat. I think maybe hopefully everybody would. I have no reservations, but yeah, I just don't know whether we can and we're going to be able to afford him. But yes, yeah, surely people can see that today, that he was working for the team all the time.
I asked deliberately to be a little bit obtuse there, but for me, the question about when he's playing for the team isn't when he has is only when he has the ball and when he releases it and how he releases it. I've already waffled on enough about he doesn't pass the responsibility or the ball. He always takes it on himself to try and create something. And as Rich WFC says, to make things happen. Trademark Rich WFC 2, 2021. It's he called it first. And I think he's absolutely right about it. But when we haven't got the ball, Jesus Christ, he works hard, and that was no more seen than when it was changed. And you had, as I say, you had Rajovic for Bio and you had the Martins on for him. And I felt that your comments earlier on, I thought, well, that's a little bit harsh. I haven't looked back at the second goal yet, so I haven't seen it. But I think we all think that things are going in the right direction. Yes, it's frustrating, but yes, it's a lot of fun. And it was, there'd be something interesting to see what Tom can build. And he also has something that no other candidate has at this moment in time. And I appreciate he's currently in a honeymoon period without anything to necessarily play for at this moment in time. But he has the goodwill of everybody who's listening to this, because he's got 5 points out of 3 games. That was probably about at least 2 points more than we thought we were probably going to get from this run of games. Hitherto, so low were our expectations of our performances and indeed the results that preceded him coming in. And in a very short period of time, I think he's elevated most people's hopes and expectations, including Uncle Ron. Yes, not necessarily about Backman, but that's going to be hard. That's going to be a harder rock to shift. Of course it is. That's fine. I get that completely. But there's a lot of goodwill suddenly, and you have a choice with goodwill. You either cash in on it or it dissipates. The important thing is, if we decide to go with him, that he knows what the picture is at the club. He knows, shall we say, the idiosyncrasies of the management and the ownership, and he's been at the club a long time. So clearly they know him. It's an opportunity now whether to stick or twist. And I was saying on Friday, well, maybe we don't need to appoint him straight away. But I think a lot of people are going, could do an awful lot worse. And that's therefore a very good audition that he's doing so far.
Final comment, Pete. I totally agree. I'm my five word reviews. Give it to him tomorrow, because it depends when you want to do it tomorrow, which tomorrow you mean. But no, I actually think in some weird way, just not winning those last two games is the best thing that could have happened to him, because it manages some of the expectation, right? Because imagine if we'd beaten Leeds and beaten West Brom, I mean, it would just get stupid. And I think if he is given the job, he does need someone above him, obviously, and lots of names flying around, and hopefully Roy Hodgson's not one of them, but that's a different conversation. And the other thing is, it's almost like it's got to be some kind of message that we'll build this together. He will definitely have the fans behind him, but I think he also needs to be given the opportunity when he does lose 3 in a row, 4 in a row, that the fans don't start to like question it or anything, or go against him and therefore spook Gino as well, or whatever. It has to be like, let's build something, build this together. In some ways I'm reluctantly, even though like Chris and Nick have seen a win, which would have been good. And sorry, guys. But just managing the expectation level, because it's really good. There's so much positive, but we're just not getting all carried away too much. We want him to get the job. We're not all sitting there thinking, oh, that's good, we're going to get promoted next season. Do you know what I mean? Balance it out.
No, you're quite right in terms of looking at that. But obviously, it's not actually the supporters' lack of patience, so to speak. Val had basically had a dreadful record since the 26th of December. It was wretched, to be quite frank, and the football wasn't improving. We'd seen some good things earlier on in the season, or some good elements earlier on in the season, without it being the full picture. But even those people who were calling for Val to go didn't just jump after 4 games and go, oh, that's it. We were in a whole host of games there. I think whilst people might look at Watford fans and go, oh, they're not the most vocal in the ground, we're not actually the most critical. And I think sometimes we're a little bit harsh on ourselves to go, oh, wow, aren't we dreadful? Well, in comparative terms to other clubs, no, we're not. No, we're really not. We're actually quite patient. And that goodwill that Tom has means that he has even more hope, expectation, hopefully a little bit more vociferous support in the ground. Everybody can make a little bit of effort to be that more supportive of him, etc. But we all still know the quintessential requirement is that the man in charge offers him, one, the support, and the support in the right manner with players that are going to fit the system. We have seen over many seasons round pegs and square holes, or vice versa, a lot of the time. He is in, and you just said, mentioned there, a little bit of stability. Wouldn't it be something to actually, if the club were having a conversation going, okay, we think we can go in this way, what is it we need? What is it we need to find? What is it we need to add into this? Because there were lots of comments that actually Val was, unless it was the player he specifically wanted, he didn't want anybody. There's got to be a happy medium, and you've got to think, if there can't be a happy medium with the club captain, or until the start of this season, obviously, who is now on his first coaching opportunity and his first management opportunity, if they give him it, then it's going to be very hard to see them do that. No. So he knows them.
And Pete, finally, promised the last
not the finally, but the finally. Okay, carry on.
Finally.
And yeah, now, Alan, we're coming to you, sir. Go on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'll definitely make way for Alan. So, yeah, just the other thing on Tom, and he's thinking about Val and thinking about Rob Edwards, two things, right? The one thing Tom's done already is, and this is the same, but I'm sure they'll go out and get players. But the other thing you do is you build a team around the squad you've got, and you play a formation to suit the squad you've got, right? Edwards, which I rely on, we can all look at that and go, whatever it was, he didn't get the right players, but he was inflexible. Same with Val, right?
Yep.
Desperate. If you haven't got the one forward who can just play on his own up front, then you've got to put two up front, right? Tom's done that. We've got wing backs who aren't maybe the best defenders, but are okay wing backs. Jamal Lewis, again, I thought he was okay today, right? Not quite as good as he was against Leeds, a bit dodgy at the start, and Andrews, they're better flying forward, right? So then suddenly we look better with three at the back. So that's the first thing Tom's done. He played the first game, he kept it, obviously didn't have much time to work with them, but he's come in and looked at his team. The ability to do that in one or two games is just like, that's much better. So even if he doesn't get all the right players, I trust him to work a team out and a formation out to suit the players, because that's exactly what he's done already. Yeah. So, yeah, that's interesting as well. So
that's a, that
was Val's failing, and that was Rob Edwards' failing.
It's a really interesting point. Val is an oddity. He's almost an outlier, because when he came to Watford, since he's come to Watford, he decided to play in a different style to how he has played up until coming to Watford. He played 3-4-3. It was direct football. Now, people will say he didn't have the players to play that, and I've got no argument with that, but we're playing three at the back at the moment, and he played three up front, so, you know, we'll see. But he decided he was going to change to 4-3-3. If you look at Rob Edwards had just won the, you know, League Two, which was his first real success in management. I've obviously been in the England setup and coaching and the development side of it. That's all very, what's the phrase I'm looking for? That's still quite different, but he just won playing 3-5-2. What tends to happen, or what I've seen very often, I should say, is once a manager has established a certain pattern of play and played it over a period of time, they become inherently less flexible because they just get to know that particular system, and suddenly they are starting to put square pegs in round holes, etc. Tom's not that. Tom has played all of the systems known to man over the last 20 years, and he's going to be in malleable at this moment in time. He's flexible, and he knows the players, he knows what they all like. So absolutely, that is a huge point, and it might give him a bonus at this moment if he can retain that flexibility in working with the Pozzos when you couldn't have player A, who you really wanted, you've got player B, and you might have to adapt to that player in some way, shape, or form. But great stuff as always, sir. We're looking forward to the videos coming towards the end of the season with John there. That's all very good.
Hi, this is Helen Ward, and you are listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, let me just see what I've done here. I managed to break the internet, something or other stupid, knowing me. Never mind. Never mind. Let's get to Alan and get him in. Thank you, John. Lovely to hear from you. And I think the majority of the players we've seen improvements from. I think the one player, actually, who, and it'd be interesting to see if Alan saw it today, whether or not he agreed. The player who has been slightly off kilter for me under Tom has been Ryan Andrews, because I was sitting there chatting with people on a group, and he kept taking a few kind of really heavy touches when he was getting forward. So if you're going to get forward and you lose the ball, it's a bit of a problem. So he just needs to improve on that a little bit more. But anyway, let's get across to Alan. Mr. Lathwell, sir, if you want to hit your mouse button and let us know, where were you today?
Well, not on the M1 near Daventry, for a start.
Well, that's an improvement on all things, I think. I don't mean to be damning Daventry in any way, shape or form, or the good burgers therein. But there we go. Did you watch the game, or was there any non-legal local football that you may have been picking up?
I was non-leaguing today. I was at Desborough Town versus Wellingborough Town in the United Counties League Premier Division South. And the away team won by a goal to nil to secure the league title. So they will be promoted to step four next season. And there was nearly 300 there. It wasn't the most spectacular of games. It was actually quite boring. But yeah, I had it was kind of a surreal experience today, because I've been a Watford fan, but also my second team is St Albans City. And I've had one of those days today where at one stage Watford were 2-0 up at the Hawthorns, and St Albans were 2-0 down at Slough. And in the 92nd minute, it was a weird sensation, because it was at that point that we conceded the second at the Hawthorns, and it was at that precise moment that Sean Jeffers scored a penalty to get 2-2 at Slough. So it was a bit of a surreal experience, that literally in the same minute. So a funny old thing, really. I haven't seen too much of today, and I've not listened to too much of as what has been said on here. Mm-hmm. But just a general observation, I think 3 games ago, such was the pessimism amongst a number of supporters for understandable reasons. Mm. There was an expectation that we might not necessarily get a point again this season, let alone get a win.
Absolutely.
So to actually have secured 5 points out of 9 is really positive. Of course, it's tempered with the disappointment that we've led in all 3 games, and it could have actually ultimately been 9 out of 9. But I, to pick up on something that John said, and I agree with him in respect of, because of the results we ended up getting in the last 2 games, and to some extent the way they've happened, it kind of tempers that expectation on Tom. And it might not necessarily do us harm in the long term. But I also think, with as a fan base, there tends to be a bit of there are elements that swing extreme one way or the other, mm-hmm. and very quickly. So if someone starts badly, like, for example, I remember years ago when Loser had his debut at Brighton and he was the worst player to have ever graced the earth. Similarly, Decore, when he made his debut against Tottenham in that New Year's Day game all those years ago, and those players essentially came good, although I accept it went full circle for Loser. And I think also, by the same token, when somebody starts well, I'm thinking of the midfielder that played against Aston Villa, whose name I've long since forgotten, on that opening day of the season, and he was great, and that was his only decent game for the club.
Kuchka.
And yes, him. And it just need to balance it out. It's a really encouraging start with Tom, and there's lots of reasons to be positive. And somebody said before, whether it was John or the person before him, I can't recall,
yeah.
It's fun again.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. I would, rather than clamour, as some are, well, let's give him a contract now, I'm quite happy to let the remaining 5 or 6 games, whatever it is, run its course and take stock at the end of that period. because I don't think we're suddenly going to lose Tom Cleverley. I don't think we're necessarily going to gain anything by giving him a contract now based on those first three games. And it gives us a chance to actually see where we're at the end of the remaining games for this season to take stock and say, right, where are we at? What has Tom done with his nine games? Will it have been nine games that he would have had?
Yes. Eight, I think.
Eight, okay. So take stock of what happens over those eight games. How is that developing? How is it working with the structure in terms of training, his support staff? How's it working in relation to the ownership and Scott Duxbury? And is there a basis on which we can go forward? Or do we need to actually say, well, well done, Tom, it's a really good audition, but at this time we are going to need a more experienced person. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is we just need to... We've got a great opportunity now because we're not going to go down. We're not going to go up. So we can just really enjoy these games that are coming up just to see how it develops. But it's certain to see that from the opening three games that the players have bought into what he's tried to do on the training ground, and that's translated to what's been delivered on a match day. The subtle changes to the way in which the shape of the team has worked, but it's also it's very notable that particularly in those last two games when we've lost Dennis as an outlet or Bio as tied, or in the case of today, did we lose both of them to substitutions today?
Yes, we lost. Bio on about 55 and on about 70. Dennis went off for Martins. Yeah.
And it's notable to see that because they put in so much work up front, they've chased all sorts of lost causes, particularly those two players.
Yep.
We do really lose a considerable element of our defensive work from leading from the front. So suddenly, when you lose one or both of those two players, with the midfield's a little bit more exposed. And so the team tends to drop deeper because they haven't got the outlet in the forward positions that they had before, and the team suffers a little bit because of that. But overall, I think it's encouraging to see what we've seen. I said after the game on Friday night, I said, I don't care how many goals Bayo gets. If he plays like he played in that first half, then alongside Dennis, I think that they're a problem. And again, we've caused problems to a side chasing the title. And today we've caused problems to a side that have desires to get promotion through the playoffs. And yeah, it's sickening to concede a last gasp injury time goal, and it was sickening to concede with 5 minutes to go on Friday night too. But it's a darn sight more refreshing to see what we've seen over the last three games than what was happening in the weeks prior.
Yep.
And I wasn't necessarily a Val out, but I think seeing the difference that has, in terms of the team mentality and the way they've gone about it since he's left, you have to accept that there's no two ways about it. It was the right decision. But in terms of going forward, let's just enjoy what's left and review where we're at at the end of the season before we make a final decision on Tom. Because I've no doubt that if the board came to him and said, look, we want to give you the job permanently, I've absolutely no doubt he would take it, because he's very much a Watford man now. Yes, his career has taken him elsewhere in the past, starting out at Man United and everything else, but the vast proportion of his career on and off the pitch, and most of his performances on the pitch, have all been in a Watford shirt. And he's very much a Watford man now, or he's a club man. And so if ultimately at the end of this audition, it was right for all parties, I'm certain he would take it. And I'm just a bit conscious I've waffled on forever, but no, I don't know what you think of that, really.
Well, the first thing I have to do is offer a correction, because I said, no, it was eight. No, I was wrong, obviously. It was nine games. It will be a total of nine games from Birmingham, obviously Leeds, West Brom. We've got Preston, then we've got Ipswich, then we've got Southampton, Hull, Sunderland and Middlesbrough. So we have got that opportunity to do so.
Yeah.
A number of people have said, look, when there isn't a rush to make a decision until the end of the season, then maybe just wait a bit.
Just cool our boots for a bit, absolutely.
And make a more informed decision. I think the one thing everybody obviously is, it would take it as a ray of sunshine going in towards the end of the season, that actually a positive move has been taken or something, and somebody that we're connecting with is great. Hopefully the club and hopefully Tom are not in too much of a rush with that. They can just focus on the games that are literally coming up over the next few weeks and allow him to build and concentrate on all of that. So that's all very good. That's all very good. Excellent stuff, sir. Excellent. No, I like that very much. I think there's no lack of, as I said earlier on, of goodwill. I think we just need to make sure that and hope that the management are, and I'm sure they are, because if they think they actually might have thrown the dart and hit a bullseye with Tom, I don't even think anybody in however daft we seem to act from a management point of view on occasions, externally even more than all of us looking at here, they'll be looking at that and going, well, let's keep him close because he was kept close enough to keep him in the club, get him in on the coaching side. And it may just be that what they've hit is pay dirt, relatively speaking, with him. Keep him close, keep him even, keep him level. And then, as you say, make a decision towards or at the end of all of those games. Who knows? We might finish the season on away at Middlesbrough with a 12:30 kickoff or whatever it is. And they may make a decision. And if they have made a decision by that point, they may announce it at the end. So no matter what, people might know. We just don't know. We'll see what the club do. They always act strangely, nonetheless.
But they have. And listen, we've all been critical of the appointments that have been made by the club. I don't think anybody hasn't been critical of some of the appointments that have been made. And whether ultimately we liked it or didn't like it, I feel on this occasion that Val was given a fair crack of the whip. And that was a change from the club's perspective. And I can't think, I'm pretty certain that during their 12 years as owners of the club, the Pozzos have never appointed a permanent head coach from within. So that would be another change from what's gone before, yeah. If ultimately this audition is successful and they decide to give them a permanent contract. And I make you right, going into that final game, is it away at Middlesbrough on the final day?
It is, yeah, it is.
Brings back memories for those of a certain age of the relegation party.
Yes, it does.
You're right that if ultimately they decide to go down the route of giving him a contract at the end of the season, yes, what a way to do it. Before that final game, I think the away fans would be in really good voice and good spirits, knowing that we go into a summer with at least one aspect of certainty, and then we can spend the entire summer getting all worked up about transfers as we like to do every year.
As we do.
But that's the same for every club, to be fair.
As we do. And who was it who won the championship today against Desborough?
So it was the United Counties League Premier Division South. So it goes to step four, so probably the Southern League for Wellingborough Town, who've been a member of the UCL for many years, but they got promoted today after a 1-0 win. It was quite a trip. The referee was getting pelters for most of the game. It was good to see a club. Desborough's a very small club with a committee, the average age of 175, conservatively. No, I genuinely mean that. And it was nice to see that those old boys that put so much effort into running that club for so little reward get rewarded today with a good payday, because to have just shy of 300 at step five is really good to see. And it's good to see people coming out to watch football at that level, and long may it continue, to be honest.
Lovely stuff. Alan, sir, have a pleasant evening, have a good weekend, and I'm very sorry, obviously, Leicester got a result today. What can you do? You can't have everything.
Well,
right, there we go. Sorry, I just pressed the button before you responded. My apologies. Let's get into these five words. Let's finish them off, and then everybody enjoy the rest of your bank holiday weekend. Cohn said, Ron forgot about Backman's first half. I mentioned that earlier on. Gary Selwood said, encouraging signs, need more depth. Dave Lavender said, you just knew West Brom would equalise. We've been in this situation so many times this season. All very, says Carl Campion. Dave Lavender back again, says, another 2 points dropped again. We asked that at the start, and it's going to be different for different strokes for different folks in terms of that. Yes, in the game in itself, 2 points dropped. Would we have taken 5 points out of nine before Klebs came in? Absolutely. I don't think anybody is missing that at all. We can retain two different thoughts in our heads and know that those aren't necessarily in opposition to one another. Bit gutted, but still quite proud of what we saw today, I think. Jason Rose says, we are enjoyable to watch. Alan Ray, we can't hold on to a lead. Peter Joyless Jones says, threw it away, sadly. Ben, Martin unfit or lazy Canute, he asks. And he's a member of the mispronunciation party, is Ben. And sometimes, obviously, he gets his Cocker Spaniel too. Football's fun again. Green shoot, says Vic Bate. Well done, absolutely. It's very possible to the game to be frustrating and yet enjoyable, isn't it? Absolutely. Alan WFC, Harrod Allen says, it's a work in progress. Nice. Hornet Haikus, very frustrating. But is something building here? Let's get behind Tom. Oh, that's many syllables of very much goodness. I think everybody's with that. I think we're feeling positive, yet frustrated. That's a good word. Lewis, welcome to Cesspit FC, says Carl Campion. Brian Edwards says, we didn't lose, so improvement. He also says, it's better than under Ishmael, with a nice picture of Desmond Tutu. There you go. Was it Cardinal or Bishop Desmond? I can never remember. So near, yet so far, says Watford FC Sweden. Carb says, unlucky not to have won. Carl Campion again says, Desmond, you are becoming boring. Yeah, two twos in a row. Honestly, they're like Harry Potter buses. You don't see any for ages and then two turn up all at once, unexpectedly. Willie Eckers, like, says, should have been 3 points. Dame Croxley Green, the results totally on Backman, he says. There you go. Different people, different opinions on it. We'll see. I'll look forward to trying to form my own opinion when I can go and have a good look at the replays and make a decision. Who knows? Who knows? Entertainment goals, cleverly togetherness, away day, says Walrus, Mr. Woodstock, 2009. John O'Shea says, the cleverly effect is incredible. He also says, weirdly disappointed with a draw. That's a great one. I think that's the... And I appreciate that's the frustration. I really do. I get the fact that people will be going there and screaming at the wall going, yes, but I am frustrated. The fact that we can come away and go, we were frustrated that we didn't get that because 10 days ago we would have never expected it. That is progress of a sort. Get it away. Gave it away today, says Yellow Army. Sorry, Chris, you're quite right. It did. Hopefully we can pick the positive. So close, but no win, says James Smith. WFC Chef, Digweed, War, Suckling, Shepherd, Miola. I would suggest that is the Watford goalkeeper stakes there. At some point, I'm gonna screen grab that, and next time I come to you, Uncle, I'm going to ask you for your opinions on that. You don't have to volunteer now, but we're going to be taking that. This is Chef's Table coming to us saying, I'm offering exhibit A, B, C, D, and E. Digweed, Woff, Suckling, Shepherd, and Miola. Perry's, Suckling and Digweed. You wait for them and two come along all at once. Just like Harry Potter buses. Jay says, decent, but shouldn't have bottled. Rajovic scuffs in another beauty, says Hornet 006. Dan Cohen, someone called Backman a taxi. Nobody's alone in this. There's people who agree, and there's people who look at it and go, well, maybe I'm just being too nice to myself. Who knows? Wasteful Watford, wish we won, says Will Gaspar, with some iteration. There was a lovely alliteration. Vince Smith says, give Clev the job now. There you go. Jamal Lewis, assist for Rajovic, says Stav. Sean Walsh, call off search. Clev's king. Crown Clev's king, says Sean. Sean is not waiting till the end of the season. He's doing it at the moment, and he wants, basically, let's be honest, he wants a coronation, and he wants it now. Quite right. Well said, Sean. Quite happy with that. Golden Goals says, Watford, love reeling you in and then stamping on your hopes. They are just so flaky. Yes, we are. Pat says, feeling very bad for TC. Feeling very bad for TC. Oh, there you go. Pat is sitting there saying he's worked hard and he probably deserved the win. Evidently no strength in depth, says Hornet Fez. Part of the discussion. This is all Chris's fault, says PJ Gordon. BJ Jordan. Yeah, absolutely. Chris and Nick now, this is their fourth game in about, oh, I don't know, 15 months maybe. And basically they've seen 3-2-2s and 1-1-1. So what can you do? Neil Dean says, sloppy defence, let us down again. Totally Retro 65 says, no quality on the bench. On Tour in Sussex says, when is Hamer coming back? Colin Smith, double Desmond, definitely doesn't disappoint. Oh, that's, well, maybe a bit, he says. Yes, it does in a way, but again, good alliteration. We like these. Throstles, throttled back by Hornets. Nice one from Simon there. Colin's back again, left leg Lenny, let's loose. Now that's better, I like that very much. 2 points dropped, never learn, says PB Barnsley 007. On Tour in Sussex, says Backman, let's in soft goals. Dunny, we heard from him earlier on, 2-0. A dangerous lead. Yeah, I was saying that a lot, but that was probably hoping against hope. Sorry, Dan Backman is shit, says Pete Thorpe. There you go. Pete's made his comment and thought about it, and there you go. Let's get to the long forms for everybody. And I know in there, because Gary very kindly sent me in a gift that's been put up from Tom Cleverley post-match, and he says, you've got to rip him off the training ground. If someone wants to improve themselves and play for the club with heart like he does, he'll do for me. That's Tom Cleverley talking about Mileta Rajovic. So there you go. Wendover Horn says, Clev's first loan was with Leicester, Pete, not Ipswich. Did I say Ipswich? I did mean Leicester, because Leicester were in, you know me, sometimes what I mean and what I say are completely codswallop. Alan, we just heard from him, said, cut off in my prime. Not for the first time, Pete. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's me pressing the wrong buttons at the wrong time. Timing is everything, but dish. Rafael Benitez is currently unemployed, says Gary. Oh, my God. I lost connection, says Martin. Oh, is that why you went? Never mind. Carl Campion says, according to some, Watford dropped points due to Backman. How about Watford should have been 2-0 down before half-time, Sierra mistake and Asante header. So Watford logic says we lost 4-2. Oh my God, that's a parallel universe statement. I don't think I can cope with that. Dickie, we drew, we didn't lose, says Rich. No, I agree with that. In a way, it's like, I think it's the 2 points that we lost. I think, yeah, the moral one. Peter, great shout, Lewington in the Birkinshaw role, says Dr. Dickie Sutton. I like Dr. Dickie Sutton. He's one of the people who actually says sometimes that I don't. Just saying, Greg. Just saying. Louis Teixeira says, gutted today, played really well, and really didn't look like conceding another at 2-1 down. 2-1 up, sorry. Bio Kayembe and Tom Delibashiru, excellent again. Martins, shocking when he came on. Possibly Backman at fault, question mark? Positives to take, yes, but a real disappointment not to get over the line again. On to Preston. Badly drawn Watford. Some marvellous stuff coming out of badly drawn Watford. Two good goals against us. First lashed into front post and a second a screamer. Not a Backman fan, but fans letting their personal vendettas get in the way. Must look different on TV each week. Well, we'll see. We'll have a look on the... Everybody, as I've always say here, everybody is entitled to their opinion here. That's the very kind of ethos of me doing this, is because people look at it and people look at it in different ways, and nobody's right, nobody's wrong, but we can talk about it and you can keep your position without it being necessarily challenged, or you can hear other people and be open to having your position either questioned or hearing other people with different views. It's fine. Asprey and Martins make Rajovic look like Messi compared to them. Both just can't be arsed, says Zlatan VKG. Hey, Zlatan. WFC Chef is back again and says, a lot to like about that performance. Such a shame we lost so much intensity with the subs strolling out. Core of a good team, TDB outstanding, a good summer recruitment, and we start looking up. Like that. Good improvement, says Ant. Hey, Ant. Last three, but still leaking late goals, so ducking anywhere. So ducking annoying. Oh, there you go. That's improving the language quality from me by doing that. John on the Water says, when calm, Uncle Ron Sr. has the kind of voice that you could easily drift off to when being read a bedtime story. Just saying, well, Ron does have two little Rons there, and I'm sure a bedtime story with that lilt of wonderfully articulated voice is probably not something he's a stranger to. Pretty sure he's pretty good at it. Wonder what Ron's going to say, said Max. Well, we heard earlier on. He said it earlier on. Colin Smith says, no criticism from me on the goalie. You can't have positive attacking football without the possibility of conceding more often. 3 games ago, anyone we've let yet to play would have been happy we were part of their running. Not anymore. That's nice. Maybe we're not quite so easy to roll and stroll over. Yeah, there are definitely things to improve. The people who are giving shout outs to Tom Delibashiru, I agree, absolutely. PJ mentioned earlier on that he could have used the ball a bit quicker on Friday, but he was pleased to see that today he was doing that. And I think most players there have looked pretty good. My one caveat, and it's not having a go at the young man, but Ryan Andrews just needs to kill those touches that see him take the ball too far away from him. Fine prospect. I'm sure he'll hammer the hell out of it very soon. Zlatan VKG is back and he says, I'm sorry, but Asprey getting interest from the likes of Barcelona must be a joke. He was awful today and jogged around with no urgency, even when the opposition are running past him with the ball. Yeah, I think there's probably a reason why he started on the bench, because, of course, he played 2 games for Colombia, but I'm not sure where those were, because quite often the South American teams, if it's not a qualifier for the World Cup or in the kind of Copa America, they normally played games in Europe. So I'm not sure whether or not he did or didn't travel more than anybody else. Watford Limericks, here we go. Bank holiday baggies, no fear. Golden boys gave us goals, we could cheer. Though clean sheets are rare, the evidence is there. The great Clevolution is here.
Oh, that's getting one of them. That's getting one of them. That's very good. I like that very much.
Oh, PJ has put in more statistics, everybody. So if you go in and have a look at the long forms, you can have a look at those. What's he put in there? He's put in the swings from last year to this year. So last year, or in comparison to last year, in the same games, we are down 4 points at home. but we are up 7 points at home, which is rather good. And the other things he's got this time last year, the overall results after 40 games, home results after 20 games, and the away, there's lots of good stuff. Get across there and have a look at what PJ's put on there. Not allowed to request to speak, says Boyd. Hold on a second, let me see if he's here. Well, Boyd, we're going to make sure that after Preston, you're the first one on, sir, if we possibly can. Don't know what's happening. Pidge from TMA says, would love Cleves to get the job full-time. Wasn't all Backman's fault today. You defend as a team, but plenty of positives, and we look so much more positive going forward. Long may it continue. Yep, absolutely. Alan and others have said about you, you score and you concede as a team as well. But hey, everybody's allowed their opinion here. That's the important thing. Because Jesse Hornet then says, Backman out, that's all. Sorry, Pidge, I didn't mean to undercut you there, but Jesse obviously disagreed. And Snowboy says, we cannot defend. Completely ignoring the fact that he could have used many more words than number three. He just decided thriftiness was what was important. Well, there we go. The end of, I think, a week we would have taken. The last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, of course it's going to be frustrating. Of course it's going to be frustrating. But we're Watford fans, which means that we can look at things and go, you know what? Yes, it's frustrating, but we can still see the bigger picture too. And with that in mind, some more, shall we say, how can I put it, more forward-thinking people, potentially, have gone, well, no, we don't have to rush into this. We could take our time and make sure that what we see is something that's the right appointment to make. Who knows how the next six games will go? Maybe a still tongue makes a wise head. Maybe just wait a little while, let things settle down, let Tom do what he's doing, let him do it. It's a very impressive audition, as has already been said, and we'll see how things go. The interesting thing is, of course, at this moment in time, we've now got very little, if any, consideration about relegation, realistically. So as was discussed on, I don't know, Friday or maybe last week, what he's getting them to do is to play for pride, for professionalism, for the energy, and to play for each other. And I think he's doing a lot of that very well, especially with the cards, i.e. the squad, that he has to be able to play. And I think a lot of people are seeing that and thinking, yeah, okay, two games where we've led and we haven't got the result. One where we led and we did, but two of the last two have ended up in 2-2 draws. But we can see the bigger picture. And as a club and as a fan base, I think the bigger picture has been something that we haven't looked at enough or thought of enough because of the constant turnover and change. So wouldn't it be something if we actually stumbled on something that could become a long-term fix for the club? Somebody who is rooted at the heart of the club, understands the club and the supporter base and the community, and we start to get back to some of those things that we felt disenfranchised by previously. Neil, who said, the last three games, what a breath of fresh air. It'd be nice, even if it doesn't matter whether or not it was intentional or not, but wouldn't it be nice if we stumbled across that? Tom Cleverley, we like you an awful lot, and we hope that it all works out. Let's see how it does. Guys, hope you've had a great weekend and hope you enjoy the rest of it. We will see you soon and next week down at the bunker for the Preston North End game at home. There we go. Come on, you horns.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.